For our sermon text this morning, we're going to look at the book of James, chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. That's James chapter 1, verses 12 through 18, and you will see that text printed out on your worship guide if you have that handy. Before we hear the word of God, let's join our hearts together once again in prayer. O Lord, our God, we pray that by your Spirit you would bring illumination to our minds and hearts that we may have a right understanding of your word. We pray, O God, that you would cause us by your Spirit to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Father, we ask that you, by your grace, would cause us to persevere through our trials that we may receive the crown of life which you have promised to those who love you. And we pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. The book of James, chapter 1, and beginning in verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. This is the word of God. Now, this passage of scripture starts with what is known as a beatitude. And of course, you may be familiar with the term beatitude because of the beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount. Our Lord Jesus Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth," and so on. Those are beatitudes. A beatitude pronounces a blessing, and that's what James does here in chapter 1, verse 12. He pronounces a blessing upon one who endures a test of faith. James says in verse 12, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." The one who remains steadfast under trial, the one who by patient endurance has stood the test, will receive the crown of life. Now, that crown of life is the consummative blessing of glorified eternal life in the age to come. Now, the theme of this verse, verse 12, is parallel to the theme of verses 2 through 4, which we looked at last Sunday. James says back in verse 2, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Endurance in the midst of trials of various kinds by which God tests our faith leads to a state of perfection in which we are made perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now, the same doctrine is stated in other words in verse 12. Endurance under testing brings the crown of life. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Now, the present age is an age of testing. The future age is an age of perfection. And this present time of testing is ordered to and leads to the future state of perfection. The trials that we face on earth are preparing us for our translation into heaven, the realm of glory, as we noted last Sunday. And in that translation, we ourselves will be glorified. We will be crowned with the unfading crown of glory, as Peter puts it in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. Or in the words of James, we will receive the crown of life. Now that's life in the consummate state of the term, glorified eternal life in heaven. Now this doctrine that James is teaching here in chapter 1 is parallel to the doctrine that we noted previously in Genesis chapter 2 regarding Adam's probationary test. When God had created man in his own image and likeness, he put him on earth in the Garden of Eden in order to test his obedience. And God entered into a covenant of works with him in which he promised to give him glorified eternal life upon condition of his personal, perfect, exact, and entire obedience to God. And God purposed to test his obedience, to test Adam's obedience in a probationary event that was connected to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If Adam had remained steadfast under trial, that is, if he had overcome the tempter, the serpent, and stood firmly in the face of that test, he would have received the crown of life, which God had promised him in the covenant of works, also called the covenant of life. But Adam, of course, failed to do that. He was lured and enticed by his own desire to exalt himself to the position of God. And when that desire had conceived, it gave birth to sin, and that sin produced death. Just as God had said to him, in the day that you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. Genesis 2, verse 17. So Adam was the first man to whom God promised the crown of life if he stood the test. And by his disobedience to God, Adam forfeited the crown of life and merited eternal death for himself and for all his children, all his posterity. But of course, there's another Adam in Scripture, a second man, the last Adam, as Paul calls him, who did remain steadfast under testing, who overcame the serpent and stood firmly in the face of his test. And as a result, he received the crown of life. The Lord Jesus Christ is the blessed man who endured the test and received the reward of glorified eternal life. In his resurrection and ascension, Christ was translated by the Spirit of God from earth, the realm of probation testing, to heaven, the realm of Sabbath resting, the realm of glory, the realm of perfection. Christ received the crown of life, and he received that reward on the basis of his personal, perfect, exact, and entire obedience to God. Christ merited that reward by his obedience to God, and he freely shares that reward with us who believe in him as a gift of his redemptive grace. Now, the contrast between the disobedience of the first Adam producing death and the obedience of the second Adam producing life is what Paul has in mind in Romans 6:23, where he says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Eternal life is a gift of grace freely given to us by God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Christ earned or merited the reward of eternal life by his obedience, and that reward is received by us through Spirit-gifted faith alone. But that faith, which is produced in us by the Holy Spirit, is faith that endures under testing, just as Abraham's faith endured when he was tested by God in Genesis chapter 22, which is an event that James points to in chapter 2 of his book. One of the marks of a true and living faith is steadfast endurance in the midst of trials. By faith we persevere, by faith we endure to the end, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith, Hebrews 12:2. True faith in Christ gives us the staying power, as it were, that enables us to endure, to persevere, to remain steadfast under trial. Faith endures, faith perseveres. By faith, Abraham endured when he was tested, Genesis 22. And also by faith, Job endured. Job remained steadfast under testing when he was surrounded by trials of various kinds. And later, James points to Job as an example of patient, steadfast endurance under testing. In James chapter 5, verse 11, the author says, "Remember the patience of Job, his steadfast, patient endurance." Job's faith was tested by trials of various kinds, and by faith he endured. He endured with patience and steadfastness. And having stood the test, he was blessed by God. And Job's life anticipated, it prefigured or foreshadowed one who is greater than Job, who would face a greater test and would stand firmly under trial and receive a greater reward, namely the crown of life. The suffering of Job foreshadowed or prefigured the life of Jesus Christ, who, in the ultimate sense, manifested steadfast endurance in the face of trials. And having stood the test, he received the crown of life, glorified eternal life as his reward. In James chapter 5, the author points to the patient endurance of Job as an example for us who must endure trials until Christ returns. Now listen to what James says in chapter 5, verse 7. James writes, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord." We must patiently endure until Christ returns, because until he returns, we will face trials of various kinds by which our faith is tested by God. And so James says in verse 7, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains." Now keep in mind that metaphor. It's a farming metaphor. The farmer waits patiently for the harvest. The time of the harvest, according to James' illustration, corresponds to the return of Christ at the end of the world. James says in chapter 5, verse 7, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful." And so in James chapter 5, verse 11, James points to Job as an example of one who patiently endured his trials. He remained steadfast under testing. And James is also urging us to do the same thing and to keep in view the harvest that will come at the end of the world when the Lord returns. Now, back in chapter 1 of James, verse 18, James refers to believers as the first fruits of that harvest. James writes in verse 18, "Of his own will, God brought us forth by the word of truth," the word of truth meaning the gospel of our salvation, "so that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Believers have been regenerated by the Spirit of God and united by Spirit-produced faith to the risen and ascended Christ, and we are therefore the first fruits of the new creation that God is bringing into existence by his Spirit. Being redeemed by Christ and regenerated by his Spirit, we are the first ripe fruit of the harvest that will come at the end of the world when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. Now, the Apostle Paul uses the same metaphor of first fruits in a similar way in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where he says that Christ, being raised from the dead, is the first fruits of the resurrection harvest that will occur at the end of the world, 1 Corinthians 15, 23. Paul and James use the same metaphor in slightly different ways, but it amounts to the same thing. At the consummation, at the end of the world, God will bring to fruition the new creation that he accomplished in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of that is tied to the beatitude in verse 12 of James chapter 1, because the crown of life that James mentions there refers to that perfect state of affairs that is brought about by the return of the Lord Jesus Christ in the consummation. And Christ is also the blessed man who remains steadfast under testing, and having stood the test, he has already received the crown of glorified eternal life. And because God, of his own will, has brought us forth and given us new life by his Spirit through the redemption of Jesus Christ, we are destined to receive that crown of life when Christ returns. We are destined to share with him in his glory. And so, beloved, we must be patient and wait for that harvest, which will come in the end. And in the meantime, in our present state of affairs in which we face trials of various kinds, we must remain steadfast under testing. And how exactly are we supposed to do that? Well, we do that by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Saving faith, a true and living faith, will endure to the end. Saving faith produces patient, steadfast endurance. And here's why. Saving faith unites us to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God produces faith in our hearts, and by that faith, that Spirit-wrought faith, we are united to Christ. And when we are united to Christ through Spirit-gifted faith, we are conformed to the image of Christ. And through our trials, we are conformed to the image of the blessed man who remained steadfast under trial, who stood the test, and as a result received the crown of life. The trials that we face in this life then replicate the trials that Christ himself endured. Or to put it in other words, God is replicating the life of Christ in us. He is replicating the life of Christ in us in order to conform us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ in his suffering and glory. We are being conformed to the trial-tested identity of Christ. Now, that's how the Apostle Paul expresses it in various places in his letters, especially in the book of Romans, chapter 8. But James is teaching the same thing by using the metaphor of first fruits in chapter 1, verse 18. Saving faith, if I can summarize what James is saying here, saving faith makes us part of God's new creation, James 1:18. We are the first fruits of the new creation. And God will bring us as the first fruits of his new creation into a state of consummate perfection at the time of the harvest when our Lord returns. And so James says in chapter 5, and here you can see how chapter 1 and chapter 5 are very closely linked to each other. James says in chapter 5, verse 7, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." To endure our trials in the present age, in this present life, we must stay focused on the return of Christ. We must keep our focus on the great harvest at the end of the age. We must stay focused on the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him, to those who by faith persevere to the end. Now, that's what the Beatitude in James chapter 1, verse 12 teaches us. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. To him be all praise and glory, now and forevermore. Amen.